This is from the corner front yard setback requirement for an existing structure. Sections 115-25, 115-183, and 115-185 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the southwest side of Old Lighthouse Road and east of Wilson Avenue within the Cape Windsor subdivision. The 911 address is 38765 Wilson Avenue in Selbyville. The zoning district is AR1. The tax map is District 533, map 20.14, parcel 70. The applicant is seeking a 10-foot variance from the 15-foot corner front yard setback requirement for an existing shed. We have a letter or petition of support with 5 signatures, 0 letters of opposition, and 0 mail return.
Good evening.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Mackenzie P., and I'm an attorney with the law firm of Saul Ewing LLP. And I'm here on behalf of Mr. Michael Kelly and Mrs. Dawn Kelly, property owners of 38765 Wilson Avenue, located in Sussex County, Delaware, just outside of the town of Selbyville, who are seeking variances from the 15-foot corner front setback requirement to allow an existing accessory building to remain in its current location. As of the July 18, 2024 survey, the existing building is approximately 19.5 feet by 21.9 feet, approximately 427 square feet, with a roof cover that is 19.5 feet by 9.9 feet, approximately 193 square feet. To permit this structure to remain in its current location, Mr. and Mrs. Kelly are seeking variances in the amount of 9.8 feet for the back corner of the existing accessory building and in the amount of 9.9 feet for the front corner and corner of the roof cover. And I believe Ms. Norwood may have been referring to the prior survey from 2023 rather than the 2024 survey. So there's technically 3 points that require these variances from the corner front. And I'll review that in more detail as I work through my presentation. So these requests arise from a misunderstanding and misapplication of the setback requirements by the contractor as well as the surveyor. And specifically the segment of the property that runs parallel with Lighthouse Road. And Mr. and Mrs. Kelly's reliance on professional guidance that led to the current encroachment of the accessory building into the corner front setback. So I'll begin with a discussion of the facts and the history that led the Kellys to the current requests that are before you, and then conclude with a discussion of the threshold res judicata issue as well. There are so many facts, though, that need to be addressed before I get to that, that I've structured my presentation in this way. So I'm going to hand in hard copies of exhibits that are already in the record that I've asked you just to focus on as I work through my presentation.
While Ms. Pete's doing that, just because she did mention it, I want to make sure that the board's radar. There is a question about res judicata on this one because the board had previously heard a case. It is in your packet for case number 12565, where the board denied a variance request for a garage that was, or a proposed accessory structure. The variance in that case was 12.1 feet from the 15-foot corner front yard setback, and there is an older survey in your record that shows the location, the proposed location of that structure. So as the board knows, and as Ms. Pete knows, in order for the board to consider the variance application on its merits, we first must determine that the proposal is substantially different or that there's been a substantial change in the condition of the property in the interim. So I'm sure Ms. Pete will address that, but I just wanted to make sure the board was aware that this is a two-part analysis.
Thank you. So the hard copy of exhibits that I've submitted, the first is an aerial image of the property that you'll see also on the screen. So this property zoned AR1 agricultural residential, and it's within the coastal area designated growth area as per the county's comprehensive plan. And this might not be a great picture to look at, but is there any way that I could have a mouse and move through the presentation on my own? Is that possible? Thank you. So the property in question, I'm going to zoom in a little bit more. So is right here. And this is Old Lighthouse Road, which is which was what is now at Route 54. So Route 54 was developed. This is Old Lighthouse Road, and it only benefits those residents that live off of it. And then also intersecting, and I'll discuss this a bit more with this property, is Wilson Avenue, where the property fronts, and then also over here, Lincoln Avenue. And I'll address that as well. So there's basically three intersecting streets that have created a very interesting situation for this property. So the Kelly property is located in Cape Windsor. I'm sure you're familiar with this community. There have been many variance requests in this community, and this particular community was enacted prior to the enactment of the zoning code. So the particular property here in question is right here. And you'll see what I just referenced again. So there's the highway, which is Old Lighthouse Road, Lincoln, which is here, and then Wilson Avenue. Notably though, today, this road really functions as a paper street, and there's actually a common area of the community and the community's entrance that separates the property probably by about approximately 50 feet from the property to actually this particular intersection here. So this actually shows the, the community intersection I was just talking about. So the Old Lighthouse Road is this road, Wilson is this road, and then Lincoln cuts back this way, just for orientation. The next exhibit is a list of all of the variance approvals I could find in this community. There are 43 that I could find and locate, and 44 property owners sought variances. So significant number of variances in the community, which shows, of course, we understand each property is unique, but that there's a trend in this community that recognizes, this board recognizes, there are unique challenges faced by property owners in this community as applicable setback regulations. Yes.
Do you know how many of these were after the small lot ordinance was drafted, was executed?
I don't.
Because that was a significant distinction.
Right. Mm-hmm. With respect to side and rear yards.
Cape Windsor was a community that specifically was one of the communities that benefited from it, because we saw a lot of cases, because the lots are 40 to 50 feet wide typically, and the small lot ordinance was applying a 10-foot side yard setback prior to the small lot ordinance. So that gave a lot of relief. And I know we've seen a significant decline in the amount of applications since that was passed. So
that's true.
I don't know how many of these were prior to that, but I just wanted to make that point.
Sure. So moving on, to fully appreciate the uniqueness of the property in question, it's again critical to understand the intersection of these roads here. So again, there is a physical distance. This is the Kelly's property right here. There's a physical distance between the property itself, the edge of the home, to the corner. The county's position is that a corner front setback applies here as well as here. So there are two corner front setbacks. The contractor, the property owner, the surveyor, as I'll discuss, all understood that a corner front setback only applied here, not here. And the accessory structure was constructed here with an understanding that a 5-foot setback applied there. It does not. It's a 15-foot setback, which again, I'll discuss in more detail as we work through the rest of the exhibits. But that's the particular makeup here of what's going on. And the property itself and this particular side yard functions as a side yard. When you visit the property, as you can see here, there's no line of sight visibility issue. At all, that's what we look at. We're concerned about safety of intersections, visibility, line of sight issues with corner front setbacks, that's their purpose. There's no such issue here. Now, if the home encroached into this area, that would be a different question, and that makes sense. But as that prior picture showed, there is no line of sight visibility issue here. And I'll point out in this picture as well, let's see, the accessory structure is right here. So moving on, the Kellys are here requesting variances for an existing accessory building. The variances requested are necessary to allow the structure to remain in its current location, as it currently encroaches upon the 15-foot corner front setback. As the paper record reflects, in 2021, Mr. and Mrs. Kelly previously sought variances from the same corner front setback for a proposed deck and garage, although the Kellys understood that they were seeking side yard variances, which is reflected in that application, and never understood that a corner front yard setback applied to this particular yard. Ultimately, the board granted the deck-related variances, and those improvements were made. However, the board denied a request for a garage, citing that storage of a car, as was desired by Mr. Kelly at that time, was deemed not necessary for the reasonable use of the lot, and that testimony did not support the proposed garage's location on the size, shape, or condition of the property, and finally that the variance was not the minimum necessary to afford relief and was classified as a want, not a need. In terms of the current situation, the applicants engaged Craig Long, a contractor who has over 25 years of construction experience in Sussex and who was supposed to be present this evening, but for unknown reasons is not here, and Don Miller, professional land surveyor of Miller Lewis, Inc., with 50 years of experience in Sussex, to design and seek permits to design a code-compliant accessory structure for storage on their property. Since moving to Sussex full-time in 2023, remember, the prior application was 2021 when the Kellys were part-time residents. Along with Mrs. Kelly's mother now residing with them, Mr. and Mrs. Kelly's plans changed substantially. They've moved here full-time, and they desired to explore alternate options for having an accessory building for storage constructed in light of much-needed storage due to their full-time residency, a substantial change since their last application. Currently, they are renting storage units for their personal belongings because their two-story home offers very limited storage option. It's worth mentioning that many homes in Cape Windsor have been improved to three stories with a ground floor garage for storage, highlighting the necessity for this accessory building beyond the focus of their last application, which was primarily aimed at storing a car, which is no longer planned, let alone permitted, as DelDOT will not, as the prior record noted, to no surprise, permit an alternate access on Old Lighthouse Road. So none of that is planned anymore. The only purpose is for personal belongings to be stored in this structure. So further, once the Kellys engage the contractor and surveyor, the contractor and surveyor work together to determine the appropriate placement of the building. And ultimately, the surveyor physically marked not only the corners of the accessory building on the property, but also the elevations of the same on the property, and the contractor proceeded with applying for permits. It's also worth mentioning that during the planning stages, the applicants discovered that Delmarva Power had mislocated lines, and that required additional work to relocate those utility lines, costing $31,000 before construction could proceed. So permits were applied for, but the applicants faced delays waiting from August 2023 through January of this year for utility work to be completed. Once the power lines were addressed, again at a cost of $31,000, the contractor proceeded to dig footers, and a third-party inspection company, Hardin Knight Associates Incorporated, conducted the footer inspection. This third-party inspector did not flag any issues with setbacks. According to the contractor, Sussex County has encouraged third-party footer inspections due to the current volume of inspections at the county. It was not until another inspection was performed, and this time by a Sussex County inspector, that the setback issues were understood and the Kellys were informed of the building's encroachment into the setback. Unfortunately, at that point, the building was already constructed and nearly complete at a cost of approximately $85,000. And I'll note that the cost is associated with development of the property in a floodplain, so it's built above base flood elevation with flood vents and comes with additional cost, understandably. So before moving into discussion of the requested variances and the variance criteria, I'd like to review the survey and permit history of this property. And these exhibits are the next set of exhibits in your packet. So the first is a survey which shows setbacks based on a 2021 verification issued by Sussex County. It reflects 5 feet from Wilson, 10 feet side yard from lot number 2, 20 feet rear yard and 40 feet from Old Lighthouse Road. So the surveyor is showing that none of this would be developable area. This is not accurate. However, this is what was provided by the surveyor. In 2021, the verification I just mentioned, there's a verification from the county confirming again 5 feet along Wilson, 10 feet side yard, 20 feet rear yard, and 40 feet along Old Lighthouse Road, which we're now being told is 15. Moving on, a June 2023 survey shows a 5-foot setback along this area in question, a 15-foot corner front along this Lincoln Ave area that I've described, a 5 feet setback along Wilson, a 10 feet along next to lot number 2, and then also a 10-foot rear yard. Then there were the two February 2018 surveys, and these were what were filed with the prior application. So again, noted different setbacks. So we've got 15 foot, 5 foot, a 10 foot in the back, a 20 foot from bulkhead here along the lagoon, and then a 10 foot and 5 foot again up front. Then there's this 2005 plot. It was recorded of record in, again, 2005. It has hand-marked notes with, again, different variants, with different setback requirements. All of these notes were made by Miller Lewis's office and were provided to me by Mr. Miller's staff. Finally, we have a 2021 hand-marked survey. This had been provided to the contractor, I believe by Ms. Norwood, at some point in recent history. However, the contractor, who again is not here this evening, could not confirm when he received this, and also had never shared it with Mr. and Mrs. Kelly. So based on a review of these surveys and the 2021 setback verification, there's a 35-foot difference in what has been represented as the setback in question, with the lowest at 5 feet all the way up to 40 feet. And so—
Ms. Pete, I do have a question before we get on that path. Because I know that you referenced a 2021 verification request, and looking at the date on that, appears to have been from April the 7th of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the most recent site plan that you showed, which was April 23rd of 2021, that had the markings on it, my recollection is that was part of the application in the packet for what the board heard in June of 2021. And in that application and in the findings, it's pretty clear that it says that there's a 15-foot corner front yard setback for a proposed accessory
structure. But there was no understanding by the applicants that that actually applied. And so it's not surprising that if you, I think we see this all the time, an applicant will file for a variance request, seek it, then they get to the hearing and are informed of information that's different from what they understood they applied for when they're not represented by counsel.
Did they not look at the agenda? Did they not look at the findings?
They have not seen this particular document until recently, and this was something that I located, and they also did not.
This is in the packet, mm-hmm. in the prior application. It's referenced in the findings of fact for the prior application.
It is. And they did not see it, and...
Well, the board doesn't independently get this. This is given to the board from an applicant, so the survey is provided by the applicant.
The survey is, but the hand-marked notes, I believe, are Ms. Norwood's.
Those mm-hmm. would be, and they're yeah. in the packet. They're available online, mm-hmm. and they've been online at least since the 2021. I can guarantee you they were online at that time.
But when they came, but prior to coming to the hearing...
If I may, Ms. Pete, what I'm having trouble understanding is why the applicants, when they applied for this variance for a similar structure in a similar location
mm-hmm.
and were denied
mm-hmm.
and received a denial. They got an approval on part of it, mm-hmm. but they got a denial on this one. It was a very clear denial, and they did not appeal that. Why there is somehow a confusion 3 years later that this is the setback would somehow be different for a structure in a similar location.
I'll explain that. There. Okay. First of all, there's various different setbacks that have been presented on the surveys, but I'm about to discuss permits as well issued by the county that have also reflected different setbacks. And always, it's been an understanding of the applicant that a side yard applied to this particular segment, and only that a corner front applied to this. Since 2021, today...
Well, the 2023 permit that I'm looking at in the packet...
Yes.
...shows that there's a 15-foot corner front yard setback from Old Landing Road, which is where this is coming off of, is it not?
And the applicant never saw that particular permit. It was only ever provided to the contractor.
So their argument is that they were relying on their contractor and surveyor to their detriment.
Their argument is that they relied on their surveyor and their contractor. And they did not ever have an understanding. And you can actually see in the physical application that was applied for from 2021 that they thought they were seeking a side yard setback request. And I see it all the time where unrepresented parties come before this board and don't always have an appreciation of actually what they're seeking until they get here, unfortunately. And I appreciate that there is a burden on the applicant to pull the information, et cetera. However, that is what happened, and they did not have an understanding that a corner front setback applied. And when you look at the actual circumstances, conditions on the property, et cetera, this yard itself functions as a side yard.
Yeah, but I guess the question I have, before every application, Ms. Norwood reads, this is what's being sought. In every agenda, it shows these are the variances being sought. There's a packet online that shows all the materials that are in their comments. It's available, publicly available. Anyone can get that. And at what point does the owner take some sort of ownership of what they're seeking, or if they're not sure, ask the questions at the hearing? I guess what I'm wondering is, what else could the board do and staff do to make that clearer, that what is being sought is what's being sought?
Well, if the application itself was deficient and requested side yards, there I would think should have been some sort of conversation prior to coming to the hearing about that. I don't know exactly what happened before they came to the hearing, other than that the survey that they submitted, as well as their application itself, requested side yard variances. And they came to the hearing and did not understand that corner fronts were being sought.
Okay.
The next document is the 2017 permit. It specifically shows, it was specifically for the replacement of the existing mobile home, and it notes setbacks of 5 feet from Wilson's Avenue, 10 feet side yard setbacks, 20 feet rear yard setback, 15 feet corner front from Old Lighthouse Road, and the corner front's described as a corner here. The next permit is from 2021, and it was in connection with the deck expansion, which we've already talked about. It notes a 5 feet setback from Wilson, a 10 feet side yard setback, a 20 feet rear yard setback, and a 15 corner front from Old Lighthouse Road. Next is a 2022 permit. It doesn't note any setbacks. It was for interior renovations in connection with Mrs. Kelly's mother moving to the property full time. And finally, the permit that Mr. Sharp and I were just addressing. So it notes the structure itself, and now you'll see a change in the setbacks that are showing as applicable to the property with a 5 foot rear, side, and front yard setback, and a 15 foot setback from Old Lighthouse Road. And this is a change that we understand that I believe as a result of the small lot ordinance, which was also misapplied in this particular case, that the setbacks were reduced, at least with respect to rear and side yards, down to 5 feet since the prior application. And this is reflected specifically and shows the changes. So overall, the review of surveys and permits illustrates growing confusion and discrepancies regarding the property's setback requirements and how they've evolved over time, and explains and supports why the Kellys, who relied on the contractor and who relied on the surveyor, who relied on information that was it allegedly received from the county, were confused about what setback applied here. And again, I'll emphasize, there was a range of 5 feet up to 40 feet shown on that particular setback in question. It's clearly confusing. And I know that there may be some disagreement about how that could come to be, but as a layperson, when you're getting information from professionals that you rely upon, including the county, that's how the confusion resulted. There's clearly evidence in the record that shows that there was confusion on all parties involved as to what setbacks applied here. So this board, pursuant to sections 115-209 and 211 of the code, has the authority to grant area variances like this in question. No such variance shall be authorized by this board unless it finds that the applicant has complied with the five criteria more fully set forth in section 115-211B of the code and the Board of Adjustment application. Applying the facts to the case, to the five criteria, the applicant has met the following criteria as follows. First, the property in question presents unique physical circumstances that significantly limit its buildable area. Its irregular eight-sided shape and the requirement for two corner front yard setbacks create unique physical conditions that differentiate it from other properties in Cape Windsor. The limitations imposed by the property's unique shape and the dual corner front setbacks hinder the owner's ability to reasonably use the rear yard of the property, the hardships directly tied to these unique conditions. Second, there is no possibility that the property can be developed in strict conformity with the provisions of the code because of the property's unique circumstances and the development of the accessory building, which is nearly finished in the setbacks. The misunderstanding and misapplication of the setbacks to this property, arguably stemming from the property's irregular shape, as well as pre-existing status of lots in Cape Windsor, together with varying changes to the applicable setbacks in this community and to this lot, has resulted in the accessory building being situated in a location that does not comply with the code. Given these unique circumstances, the necessity for a variance arises to allow for reasonable use of the building. Without the variance, the only alternative is removal. This would obviously impose a significant financial burden and loss for the Kellys, amounting to over $100,000 when considering the removal costs, as well as the initial investment of $85,000 plus $31,000 utility relocation costs. Moreover, the unique conditions of the property necessitate granting the variance, as strict conformity with the code is not possible, and the variance is essential for the Kellys to achieve reasonable use of their property. Next, this exceptional practical difficulty has not been created by the applicants. The building is nearly finished, and the contractor constructed it based on his understanding of the setbacks and the surveyor's guidance and the placement of stakes, and that surveyor's placement of stakes indicating where the building should be positioned, which was in the setback. There was clearly confusion, as has been explained, regarding the applicable setbacks compounded by surveys and permits reflecting differing setback requirements. While the surveyor and contractor should have been aware of the correct setbacks, they were not, and as such, they were not applied correctly to the property. Ultimately, the property owners relied on their professionals in the development of the structure on their property. Moreover, without the grant of variances, Mr. and Mrs. Kelly would suffer the loss of this investment in addition to removal costs and continued rental of off-site storage, depriving them of much-needed storage on site. Next, if granted, the variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. Again, there have been 43 variances in the community. It's a unique community, but this property is also unique and distinct in comparison to those other unique properties. The nearby neighbors support the building, which is logical given that it does not affect them, as it is situated between the lagoon and Old Lighthouse Road. The Kellys have also received support from the board, from their HOA board, evidenced by a letter of support that is submitted into the record, including signatures of the immediately adjacent next door neighbors. And I did receive one additional, it's the owner of lot two that I referenced specifically that's also adjacent to the site. I did receive another a letter of support from them today. Additionally, although this area is influenced by tidal conditions, as mentioned, the structure has been constructed in accordance with applicable floodplain regulations, ensuring it is above base flood elevation and incorporates flood vents. Additionally, it is set back 20 feet from the edge of the pavement of Old Lighthouse Road. Again, I want to emphasize that's 20 feet from the edge of pavement of Old Lighthouse Road. And there is a physically and is physically distant from that road with a state right-of-way as well as community open space that exists between those areas. And there is no visibility or intersection safety concerns as the structure does not impede line of sight at this intersection. And finally, if granted, the variance will represent the minimum variance that will afford relief and permit the existing accessory building to remain in its current location. Moving on to the res judicata issue. This board functions as a quasi-judicial body, and similar to court decisions, there is a principle which applies to prior decisions of this board, known as res judicata. Res judicata stands for the principle that once a matter has been adjudicated and decided, a person cannot file another lawsuit to obtain a different outcome. This principle applies to decisions made by this board and stems from a 1987 case where it was discussed here before the board. Specifically, a case was appealed from a 1984 decision of a Sussex board denying petitioner Hattie Colick a second application for a special use exception to place a manufactured home in a residential area of Sussex zoned AR1. In that case, the Superior Court decided that the board erred in failing to consider the substantiality of change in the proposed use, and the board's decision was reversed and remanded to the board for further consideration. The court ruled that the finality of decisions in zoning cases is no different from such rules in other areas of law, and stated, quote, while a board cannot change its decision once made, it can consider a new application for similar relief if there has been a substantial change in the circumstances or the conditions affecting the property or in the use or plans for use. Thus, the court found that the board could grant a second application that had a substantial change from the original application. Furthermore, here, the Kellys must demonstrate that there has been a substantial change in the circumstances or conditions in the property or the proposed use or plan for use. In this case, there are several substantial differences between the conditions affecting the property and also in the plans for use, some of which have already been explained. In terms of conditions affecting the property, since the last application, there was a 2023 and 2024 survey, as well as the new permit that reflected a 5-foot side yard. As I mentioned, there was always an understanding that with respect to this particular yard, that a 5-foot, not 15-foot setback applied. Understanding that this applied to the property segment in question and relying on advice by their surveyor, the Kellys contractor applied for a permit to construct the accessory building, believing that a 5-foot setback applied. This understanding was based on consultations with the surveyor, who indicated that the segment of the property along Old Lighthouse Road was a side yard on sealed surveys and marked the corners of the building physically on the site to confirm placement of the building. These are conditions which are different from the prior request and which the Kellys relied upon in moving forward with this work. In terms of plans for use and, again, change circumstances, the primary purpose of what was intended to be a garage for storage of a car with the intent to access it from Old Lighthouse Road, which is not permitted as confirmed by DLDOT, is no longer planned. The current purpose is solely for storage due to Mrs. Kelly's full-time residency here, as well as Mrs. Kelly's mother moving here full-time, increasing the need for storage for the entire household. So their full-time residency versus their part-time residency, as well as 3 versus 2 full-time residents, has now resulted in a substantial change for the use of the property and has created a present need and demand for storage that they did not previously have. And due to this lack of space, they're currently renting off-site storage for their belongings. Related, the proposed building is also smaller than what was previously sought, a 480 square feet building, and is also shifted towards the bulkhead and away from the road by an additional 2 feet. And most significantly, the Kellys have invested over $100,000, which certainly constitutes a substantial difference between now and then due to their reliance on their surveyor and contractor's professional advice. As a result, they now have a building constructed in the setbacks. So to summarize, there has been a substantial change in the circumstances or conditions of the property and in the proposed use or plans for use in the following ways. So 2 new surveys and 2 new permits reflecting different setbacks has been issued, adding to confusion of the setbacks. A change in setbacks applicable to Cape Windsor, as supported and shown on the 2023 permit issued by the county, notes 5-foot setbacks on all sides, for which the applicant's surveyor and contractor understood to apply to the lot in this particular yard. The Kellys and Mrs. Kelly's mom, full-time residence, is also a substantial change and resulted in the substantial change in use and plans for use of the property with respect to the accessory building. And finally, an investment of over $100,000 as a result of the facts has been made. In conclusion, the Kellys have met the burden of showing that there has been a substantial change in the circumstances or conditions in the property or the proposed use or plan for use, and seek this board's approval of their requested variances to permit the accessory building to remain in its current location. That concludes my presentation.
You want to have somebody swear?
Yes. Mrs. Kelly.
Stephen, can you state your name and address for the record?
Dawn Kelly, 38765 Wilson Avenue, Selbyville.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Can you confirm that the statements I made on the record are true and accurate?
Yes.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think you really covered everything, but I do want to just reiterate, you know, it wasn't that we were denied in 21 and just said 3 years later we're going to do this. I mean, after we were denied, what we needed changed, the setbacks in Cape Windsor changed. We contacted the surveyor. We said, could you come out and relook at this? He did. He came out. He said the corner front related to where our deck was expanded to become a sunroom, but from there to the rear of our yard was our side, and that was only a 5-foot setback. We then said, okay, he drew up a location survey, we hired a contractor, he said the same thing, we applied for the building permit, it was the same thing. And then the surveyor came out, restaked the property, staked where the footers should go, we built it, we had a footer inspection, they passed it. The building was completely constructed when the setback inspector came out afterwards. Couldn't find the property markers. We weren't there. The contractor was there. He called back into the office here. They said, well, that's not a side. That's a corner front. That's when everything stopped. At that point, we didn't know. I mean, at that point, we thought the corner front was up by the sunroom, and that was the side because that's what everybody told us. That was about it. Okay.
Are there any additional questions?
Mr. Sher?
I don't know if any of the board members do, but I have a few.
Williamson?
So, trying to understand, like, going back to, I'm trying to understand, like, is there a perceived physical change in the building restriction line? Is that what you're
getting
at?
There was a perceived, yes. That's exactly right.
I think that kind of I didn't want to speak for you, but I didn't want to assume that that's what it was. That's all I have.
Thanks.
I've got a couple. So I'm looking at these permits.
Yes.
And the only one, there's one that has the interior. So that we're not looking at that one, but every one of these permits dating back to 2021 has corner setback 15 feet Old Lighthouse Road.
That's right, and none of these permits were ever shown to Mr. and Mrs. Kelly. They were only provided to their contractor.
I would like to ask your client a question, if I may. But you didn't see these permits, right?
I did not see the current permit. No.
Okay.
We didn't have that until Ms. Pete asked us for a copy of it. We contacted the contractor because he hadn't posted it in the window. When he brought it in, that's when we saw that.
I guess the thing that I look at is in 2021, you came to this board with a 20x24 accessory structure. That's what we called it.
Right. Like
proposed accessory structure.
Right.
And you know that was denied.
Correct.
And then you've in a very similar location to what has been presented now. Is that?
That's correct.
That's correct. Okay.
But we were under the impression that when the setback changed in Cape Windsor to a 5-foot setback, that applied to our side there, which was Old Lighthouse Road.
I mean.
And there
the
are
small lot ordinance was prior
board.
To that previous application, so I'm not sure when that would have, is that a restrictive covenant change?
There's been a lot of correspondence between the, there's someone here that's going to speak to it.
From the board.
But there's been a lot of confusion in the community surrounding setbacks in general. And there's been work between the county and the board historically. And so there was an understanding that there was a change to the setbacks more recently, since 2021.
Since 2021. From a side, that the side.
From a county perspective, there was not an official change. But it is noted on the 2023 permit, unlike the 2020, unlike the prior permits.
Well, I guess I look at the old Landing Road, Old Lighthouse Road never changed. On all three of those permits, it still said 15 feet Old Landing Road, very clearly spelled out.
However, there's that Lincoln Ave intersection as well as Old Lighthouse Road. So it's almost as though the permit and the county hasn't considered with this particular lot where the corner front actually applies and where technically a side yard should apply. And there's no opportunity in the county to seek a reorientation of the lot or otherwise. You have to come and seek a variance.
Well, I mean, there's mechanisms by which to talk to the planning and zoning office for that. But I guess the
And just for the record, we did speak about the opportunity.
I'm trying to ask your client a question for not to be interrupted. So, Ms. Kelly, what I am questioning is, did you ever look at having a smaller structure in that space?
Well, we did do a smaller structure, a little smaller than it was, and we moved it closer to the bulkhead.
When we put the overhang on, it looks bigger.
It's longer, but it's just a porch overhang. But the actual structure for storage is
But did you look at a narrower one, I guess, is the question.
Well, we thought that was pretty narrow. It was only 400 and some square feet, so
we see a lot of 8-10 foot wide sheds.
Well, we had two households that we were moving in there in June of last year when we moved down here. So that was really sufficient for what we needed for storage.
And that's what the contractors, workers had designed as well.
Again, we're the only lot in Cape Windsor that has Wilson Avenue, Lighthouse, Old Lighthouse, and Lincoln on paper. It's never been developed since the beginning at Cape Windsor, Lincoln Avenue. But we're the only one that has, in the whole community, that has that. So the confusion about the corner front was where Lincoln, and I don't have the map up, so I can't show you, but where Lincoln intersects Lighthouse Road, I understand that that's a corner front. But from what the surveyor said, from that point to the rear of the property down Old Lighthouse Road is our side. So our side is our bulkhead and Old Lighthouse Road. The corner front is there at that corner at that intersection. Our rear of our property abuts our neighbor's property. There's no intersection there. There's no road there. There's nothing there. So that's I think, where we thought the corner front was. It pertained to that. And we relied on the surveyor when he said that was our side yard. He said, and under 600 square foot, you know, side yard for an accessory only has to be 5 foot. So that's why we never even applied for the variance again, because we thought we were within the setbacks after that 5 foot change came in Cape Windsor. Really, that's where we thought our corner front was, where Lincoln intersects Old Lighthouse Road.
Ms. Pete, did you know that the board has denied a variance in recent months on a corner lot on a lagoon like that?
I'm not aware.
In July, we denied one. I didn't know if that was on your list or not. I was trying to see the numbers. I have no further questions. Thank you.
So I have a, when was this built?
This was built, it was completed.
It started in, I guess, mid-January, and it was probably finished like 2 months ago. I don't know the exact date.
Sure. So the county went out there and did a footer inspection.
Third-party inspector.
Which, again, we didn't even know until last week that it was a third-party inspector.
That was just revealed in a meeting with the contractor last week, that a third-party inspector, not someone from the county, came to the site. And, of course, we know that if it probably had been a county inspector, probably would have setbacks would have maybe been noted
at
that
point. That's what I was wondering.
So it wasn't until after the structure was built that the setback violation was flagged.
Because
because the building was done, the setback inspector came out, they passed it. I mean, we had an electrical inspection, that was all done, that was approved. But then the setback inspector came in after that and said, couldn't find the property markers, and that's when this came up. And it was just, it's just a terminology, if you call that a side or a corner front on Old Lighthouse Road, that one section.
That's disappointing.
So.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
The confusion on, I keep hearing about this change in the development of the setback. Did you say you had somebody to speak on that?
Somebody here.
Okay, well, maybe we'll get to that. I'm just curious about that.
I can hold my question till then also, but, because it's a setback question.
Would you like to have them come forward?
Sure.
I couldn't hear, so I kept looking up.
Are we going to identify her as a witness in chief or a supporter, do we think, Ms. Pete?
I think it's actually best to identify her as a witness.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, and I'd like, Mr. Sharp will swear you in.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Sure. Sue Scrapper, 38775 Wilson Avenue, Selbyville.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I'll let you speak to the history of the setbacks in Cape Windsor mm-hmm. and interactions with the county specifically and how
sure.
residents understood and specifically the Kellys that there had been a recent change to the setbacks that applied to the property.
Right. Well, the covenants or our deed restrictions are 15 feet, what we call the back from our canals to the back of the house. We call the road our front, and that's 10 feet, and then 5 feet on each side. When the county changed to have 5 feet in the front, 5 feet on each side, we're in the process of trying to change our covenants, but we just said, okay, it's fine from the street to the house to go with 5 feet, as long as they had, ability to maintain the easement because all our utilities run straight down. I actually watched the very first variance hearing for the Kellys. I wasn't here, but I did hear and see what the board said. I don't know if all of you were on the board back then. But there was a lot of conversation about not being able to have a vehicle on the property, not to be able to cross from Old Lighthouse Road onto their property, and the size. And so you kind of, from someone who's looking at it, it was like, okay, they denied that. But the people on the board said, but if you just shrink it a little bit, and you are sure you're not going to drive across it, then it'll be okay. And I think that led, I mean, I was on the board back then, led us to believe that, okay, we heard what the board had to say, let's go make those changes, and then the county issued permits, and, you know, you believe you're working within the guidelines. I can tell you, as a separate case you heard in June, the board sent a letter opposing, but it also said there's 11 properties that are irregular in Cape Windsor. And we have been trying to get planning and zoning to work with us. Now, prior to COVID, we were able to call planning and zoning and say, if we have a problem, could someone come out? And they would. This year, when I called, because we're having a lot of building going on, I called because, honestly, one house went up and is way off on any of the guidelines. And I was told we don't come out until the building is totally finished, and then we'll let you know if the people are managing the setbacks or any of the development that was proposed. And I said, if you do that, then that means you're going to have the homeowner have to change something after they built it versus coming out and working through a situation. And I said, so if the plan is now that you can only come out at the end to talk to us as the HOA, can you put in the files that you need to contact us when that person comes out? They said, no, we won't do that. So we have tried. I mean, all paperwork comes through my office before it goes to the board. And the board members have called, I've called, just to be able to say, this is what Cape Windsor's setbacks are, this is what our guidelines are, and we don't have that rapport anymore with planning and zoning. It's just a nope, and that's it. So, like I said, you can go back to the June, I can give her the June letter we sent in. But I don't know, the Kellys are put into a situation that, if you look at this picture, see where the green is? That's what they see. That's what I'm the third house in, and that's what I see. You just see the abutment of the new 54, and you're in swamp otherwise. And then, but if you look over the bridge, you see a Freeman construction going on that's filling in wetland and putting in 80 homes.
That doesn't have anything to do with us.
No, I'm just saying, when you look from our homes, this is what you see. Mm-hmm. You don't, this is from a third story on my house. The Kellys don't have a third story, but that's what you see. If you're on the ground, you see what this green line is. And that's it. Their building has added to Cape Windsor. It has not affected anything negatively. And Old 54, if any of you have ever gone down, you go to the right, there's 10 houses, dead ends. You go to the left, 10 houses, dead ends.
I'm familiar.
You know, it is not something that people use it to walk, they ride their bikes, but it is not impacting anyone at all. And like I said, I'm the third house from the Kellys. So I see the structure, but I signed a letter during the last variant saying I did not object to it. And each one of us that are around them signed that letter. We didn't object to it. We signed it again. So I feel, sorry, I get really dry. I feel like the Kellys did everything that the board recommended the first time. And then, you know, all the way through their construction, and now it's like, oh, by the way, you have the wrong variance. And it's like, if we could get somebody to work with us, maybe we would not be in this situation and have a homeowner out $100,000. The other is, I just have to say, which I thought was a little appalling, is when we did call, and I think the Kellys got the same answer because they were concerned, it was like, well, you're probably going to have to tear it down. And I thought, again, compared to what I was used to when I was on the board and the way I would get cooperation to, I guess it's, we can blame it on COVID. Everything's changed. And I would really like to see a rapport with us again in a way that we can solve things.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Miss Scrapper, did I get it right?
Yes.
You had some photos there. I don't know if they're already in the record or not, but if you'd like, you can submit them to Ms. Norwood so we can put those in.
I think they are. I think what I did is I just colored to show you what you actually saw.
Okay. I should make sure
you don't see much.
Make sure you had what you already had. Thank you.
I'm not sure if there's any other questions, but that does conclude our presentation.
Ms. Pete, did you make a request for any representative from Miller Lewis to be present, and the contractor also?
Mr. Miller, could not attend, wasn't interested in attending, and the contractor who we met with last week was supposed to be here, and he's not, and I don't know why.
Do you know the name of that contractor?
Craig Long.
Craig Long?
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Mr. Sharp, how do you want to do this?
Well, at this point, we'll see if there's anybody here that's for or against.
Then we'll just vote on the resecute at the end.
Well, I think it's always important to see, you know, I might as well just hear if there's anybody here, because they may have a position on whether the first part is met as well. And then, you know, this, I don't know if there's anybody here on this application or not.
All right. Very good.
I think we go that route.
Is anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this case? Sir, you come forward and be sworn in. Good evening, Mr. Sharp. I'll swear you in.
Please state your name and address for the record, please.
Name is Gregory K. Lusby. I live at 38791 Tyler Avenue in Cape Windsor, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir, I do.
And Tyler Avenue is in Cape Windsor?
Tyler Avenue is within Cape Windsor. It's three streets over from the entrance of Cape Windsor.
So how far away are you from this property?
How far?
Are you near?
I'm within the community. There's only six streets in the entire community.
I understand that, but how close are you to this home? I know the lady that just spoke said she was about three houses down. I didn't know how far away you were from the property.
You'd have to go over three streets over down Tyler. It's three streets over nine houses down on Tyler.
Okay, thank you.
One of the reasons I wanted to come and talk, I've been a resident residing in Cape Windsor for 53 years. So I've seen all the changes everybody's talked about from mobile homes to now. I've seen the corner lot where the Kellys are, and it's improved 100%. It is the first thing you see when you enter Cape Windsor, and it's the last thing you see when you exit Cape Windsor. And it's an improvement 100%. The location of the dwelling that you guys are talking about has zero negative impact on anything or anybody. When you look across the street, and I don't want to be totally redundant, you see a bridge abutment and a swamp. That's it. And I do know that let me back up. The Kellys are very honorable people. I know that. Mr. Kelly, he's a 30-year veteran of the United States Air Force. He understands rules. So what does he do? He goes and applies to Cape Windsor, make sure that's okay. They approve it. He goes to the neighbors, make sure that this dwelling that they're building won't block anybody. Anybody have any opposition to it? Negative. No opposition. So he understands. So when I hear, well, there could have been this, it could have been that, this is an honest man. He understands rules. He understands how things are supposed to be. And you can see he's checked every box down the road. And as it gets to the end of the road, all of a sudden, boom, you got to move this thing. It's too close. Where it's located right now has zero impact on anybody or any place or anything. And I just find the suggestion that it's 2 feet, 3 feet, 5 feet, 15 feet from a road. You've heard a bridge that goes to nowhere. This road goes to nowhere. It's just talked about a minute ago. It goes 100 yards to the left, 100 yards to the right, and it dead ends. You can't go any further. So it's not a road that everybody uses other than people in Cape Windsor or 10 houses to the right or 10 houses to the left. So the Kellys have checked every box that you can check. And I'm sitting back here in the audience. I don't know all the things that happened, but you can see where, wow, which one is, which one's accurate, which one's not accurate. You know, what do you do? What do you do? They've invested hundreds of thousands of dollars to get this dwelling done, and they've made it a positive impact on Cape Windsor. Again, I've seen every change from 1971 till now. They've done nothing but enhance the community, and then I just find it to be ridiculous that here's a road that does nothing for anybody other than Cape Windsor, and you're worried about it 10 feet, 5 feet, 15 feet that this garage is sitting off of. Moreover, you're talking about honesty. You can see the entrance to his garage, and you can see where he's cut it off, where he's not going. He's complied with what earlier said. It can't be a driveway. He's complied with that. He's complied with everything anybody said. And I just find it to be, well, it's just ridiculous that we're sitting here arguing over, not arguing, but discussing a setback of 15 feet or 5 feet from a road that goes nowhere. So anyhow, I appreciate your time, appreciate you letting me speak that piece, and hopefully it's a favorable outcome for the Kellys. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to speak? Yes, ma'am, you can come forward.
Just one thing that I forgot to mention.
Wait till you get to the microphone. There you go.
Sorry. from the front of our building to the road is over 20 foot. So we're not even near the road. We're not blocking any kind of sight lines or anything like that. But I didn't know if you realized, like, how far back we are from the road.
Anyone else like to speak in favor of this case? Would anybody like to speak in opposition to this case? Anything from the board? Further? So we need two motions.
First motion would be whether or not the applicant
had,
whether there's a substantial change in the conditions or of the property. Or in the proposal, if you believe the proposal is substantially different from the prior one. You believe it does, either of those are positive, then we move forward to the discussion on the variance application itself.
I'll entertain a motion if there's a substantial change in this case from the prior case.
I'll make a motion. I will say, when I first saw this case and listened to it, I was a little bit frustrated because I felt like it was something that we had denied that ended up just being built anyway. And then after hearing the testimony, seeing that Miller Lewis had come and done two separate surveys with a 5-foot setback, and then they relied on a contractor, I can see where the confusion has taken place, so I'm in favor of the res judicata.
So, and just to make sure you're clear, your motion is that there's been a substantial change in the property, the conditions affecting the property?
I think there's a substantial change in the perception that there was a substantial change in the property.
Okay. Do you also, while we're on the subject of this motion, do you believe there's been a substantial change in the proposed use of the property? In other words, is the was proposed substantially different than what was previously presented to the board?
Slightly because of the garage, but I think that the perception is that they fell in line and there was no setback that was necessary.
Thank you for clarifying.
Wasn't it originally going to be used for cars and now it's just being used for storage? Is that like, would that be considered there?
Originally used for a garage that was going to access Lighthouse Road.
That's changed.
Yeah. Have a motion?
Hastings, was that your motion?
That was my motion.
I'll second that.
Motion and a second. Dr. Carson?
Voting nay.
Mr. Williamson?
Aye.
Mr. Hastings?
Aye.
And I too. It's a vote of 3-1. We've agreed, I guess, that there was a substantial change. So we will rehear the case. I will now entertain a motion on case 12999 from Michael and Dwayne Kelly. Dawn, I'm sorry. I'm tired. I've been up since 4 o'clock.
I'll make a motion to approve case number 12999 for the request of variance pending a final written decision based upon the record made during the public hearing. The property does have unique physical conditions due to two front setbacks. Due to such physical circumstances or conditions, there is no possibility the property can be developed in a strict conformity. This is the largest case, in my opinion. It is the exceptional practical difficulty has not been created by the applicant, even though I think it is the responsibility that it was denied before, and they understand what the setbacks were. I think they were relying on the surveyor and the contractor, and the HOA or the development for guidance on the setbacks. Variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, and variance represents the minimum variance necessary to afford relief.
Second.
Motion and a second. Dr. Carson?
Voting nay.
Mr. Williamson?
Aye.
Mr. Hastings?
Aye.
And aye, too. So the vote of 3-1, your case is approved.
Does the board want, I know in some of these cases, a letter sent to the surveyor and the contract?
I would love that.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yep. Ms. Pete, if you could get me